Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 11. I read to you the whole chapter and we will go into the study in detail. Matthew chapter 11 verses 1 to 30. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." At that time Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, so far in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we have seen that all of the evidence has been presented. John the Baptist has introduced the King of Kings to the nation of Israel. Jesus had revealed his person, he revealed his principles, and he revealed his power. It was now up to the leaders of the nation to make their decision. But instead of receiving their king, they began to rebel against him. And so now in these two chapters, in Matthew chapter 11 and also Matthew chapter 12, We see this rebellion. And we see in these two chapters, 11 and 12 of the Gospel of Matthew, we see four areas of rebellion. Number one, we see rebellion against his prophet in Matthew chapter 11 verses 1 to 30, which is our text this morning. Then we see rebellion against his principles in Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 21. Then we see rebellion against his power, Matthew chapter 12 verses 22 to 37. And then we see rebellion against his person, Matthew chapter 12 verses 38 to 50. Now today we will look at Matthew chapter 11 where we see rebellion against his prophet, John the Baptizer. In Matthew chapter 11 verses 1 to 15, Matthew records an explanation to John and about John in Matthew 11 verses 1 to 15. An explanation that Jesus gives to John, and also when he speaks to the crowd, he gives an explanation about John. John the Baptist was in prison in the fortress of Machaerus because he had boldly denounced the adulterous marriage of Herod Antipas and Herodias. And John boldly spoke against that. Luke chapter 3 verses 19 to 20. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. The Jewish leaders could have opposed Herod, and they could have sought to free John the Baptizer, but they did nothing. Their attitude toward John actually reflected their feelings toward Jesus, because John had pointed to Jesus and John had honored Jesus. It was terribly unjust to put John into prison, and he suffered there in the dungeon. He was a man of the desert, yet he was confined indoors. He was an active man. He was given a divine mandate to preach, but he was now silenced. He had announced judgment, and yet that judgment was slow in coming. He was bold in his proclamation of truth. Matthew chapter 3 verses 7 to 12. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." John received only partial reports of the ministry of Jesus while in prison, and he could not see the total picture. The Lord Jesus replies to John, and he explains. The Lord replies to John, explaining things thoughtfully and very tenderly. Matthew chapter 11 verses 4 to 6. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Jesus, our Lord, reminded John of the Old Testament prophecies about the works of the Messiah. Certainly, John knew of all these prophecies in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 18 to 19. "In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. And the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah chapter 35 verses 4 to 6. "Say to those who have an anxious heart, 'Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. John's disciples had already told John what Jesus was doing. We see in Luke chapter 7 verses 18 to 19. Luke chapter 7 verses 18 to 19. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" So actually his own disciples had earlier told John what Jesus was doing. But now he sends these two disciples to him, and Jesus asked them to show John again. I read now from the King James Version, Matthew chapter 11 verses 4 to 5, the King James Version. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and shew John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So Jesus tenderly reminds John of the prophecies regarding the Messiah. John the baptizer had come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1 verse 17. "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Even Elijah had his days of discouragement. Now Jesus assured John that he was fulfilling the Father's will. After answering John, after explaining to John, Jesus then praised him to the crowd. Jesus goes on to explain to the crowds who John is. Matthew chapter 11 verses 7 to 11. Matthew chapter 11 verses 7 to 11. "As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John was not a popular preacher who catered to the crowd. Neither was John a reed in the wind who wavered with every change. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of courage. He was the greatest of the prophets. The fact that John was privileged to announce the Messiah gave him this high position. His ministry marked the climax of the law and the prophets. Matthew 11, 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. How is the least person in the kingdom of God greater than John? Greater in position, not in character or ministry. John was the herald of the king, announcing the kingdom. Believers today are children of the kingdom, and we are friends of the king. John 15 verse 15. Jesus says in John 15 verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." John's ministry was a turning point in both the nation's history and in God's plan of redemption. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Now this verse is better understood when we read the parallel verse in Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. Luke chapter 16 verse 16. "The law and the prophets were until John. Since then the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone forces his way into it. The Jewish leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, needed to stop drifting with the crowd and start pressing into the kingdom as many other people were doing. The door is narrow and therefore people press in. There is a spiritual hunger. There is an aggressive desire to enter the kingdom which God honors. There will come a time when the door is shut and these Pharisees will not be able to enter. And that's the warning. Luke chapter 13 verses 24 to 25. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has arisen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. The Pharisees had rejected the ministry of John the Baptizer and permitted him to be killed by Herod, even though they knew that John was God's prophet. They were also rejecting the ministry of Jesus the Messiah, and they would ultimately ask Pilate to have Jesus crucified. You see, when your life is controlled by the world, and especially the love of money, which was typical of the Pharisees, when that happens, you open the door to every kind of sin. Matthew 11 verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The law and the prophets were until John. Because John introduced the Savior to the nation. And he announced the arrival of the kingdom of God. But that did not mean that the law was discredited or destroyed, for in Jesus Christ the law has been fulfilled. Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The Pharisees prided themselves in their faithful obedience to the law of Moses, but they did not receive the Savior of whom the law of Moses wrote about. Matthew chapter 11 verse 14. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Now, in what sense was John Elijah who was to come? He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1 verse 17. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. John actually even dressed and ministered like Elijah. When King Ahaziah was told about the description of the person who met his messengers, he recognized the description as Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 1 verses 7 to 8. He said to them, what kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things? They answered him, he wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 4. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. Like Elijah, John had a message of judgment for the apostate nation of Israel. His ministry was prophesied. Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah 40 verse 3 we read, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And John fulfilled his ministry. But Malachi chapter 4 verse 5, Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 prophesied the coming of Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now this day of the Lord is the time of tribulation that will come on all the earth. In Matthew chapter 24 verses 1 to 44, which God willing we will study later, the Lord Jesus discusses there events that will take place on earth during the time of tribulation. But no such judgments followed the ministry of John the Baptist. Why was this so? John's ministry was to prepare the nation of Israel for Jesus and to present Jesus to the nation. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah the priest, the father of John the Baptizer, about John's ministry. In Luke chapter 1 verses 15 to 17. Luke chapter 1 verses 15 to 17. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. John fulfilled his ministry. In John chapter 1 verses 29 to 34 we read, John chapter 1 verses 29 to 34, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now, if the people had received John's witness and accepted their Messiah, John would have fulfilled the prophecies literally. Instead, these prophecies were fulfilled in a spiritual sense in the lives of those who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus made this clear in Matthew chapter 17 verses 10 to 13. Matthew chapter 17 verses 10 to 13. And the disciples asked him, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? He answered, Elijah does come and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. Many Bible students believe that Malachi chapter 4 verse 5, which we read earlier, will be fulfilled literally when Elijah comes as one of the two witnesses spoken of in Revelation chapter 11. The common people held John the Baptizer in high regard. Jesus asked a question to the chief priests and elders of the Jews, Matthew 21 verses 25 to 26. Matthew 21 verses 25 to 26. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if he say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if he say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. Many among the common people had repented and been baptized by John. But the leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they refused to honor John, and this proved their unbelief and hardness of heart. Instead of being childlike, instead of humbling themselves, the leaders were childish and stubborn, like children pouting because they could not have their way. Then we find Matthew recording Jesus condemning this rebellion. The condemnation of this rebellion in Matthew chapter 11 verses 16 to 24. The parable in Matthew chapter 11 verses 16 to 19 revealed the spiritual condition of these leaders. And unfortunately, it also reveals the hearts of unbelievers even today. Matthew chapter 11 verses 16 to 19. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Jesus compared that generation to people who were childish because nothing pleased them. He was referring to the scribes and Pharisees in particular. John was a prophet who declared a stern message of judgment, and they said he has a demon. Jesus mingled with the people and he preached a gracious message of salvation, and they said he's a glutton, a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. They wanted neither the funeral nor the wedding because nothing pleased them. People who want to avoid the truth about themselves can always find something in the preacher to criticize. This is one way they justify themselves. But God's wisdom is not frustrated by the arguments of the so-called wise and prudent. God's kingdom is demonstrated in the changed lives, the ones who have repented. God's kingdom is demonstrated in the changed lives of those who believe. And this is how true wisdom is justified. Matthew 11 verse 19, yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Matthew chapter 11 verses 20 to 24. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. How unusual it is to find the words, woe to you, woe to you, on the lips of Jesus. This word woe means judgment, but it also includes pity and sorrow. How tragic it is when these cities should treat lightly their opportunities to see and to hear the Messiah of God and be saved. The Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon and the godless cities of Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented had they seen the miracles that Jesus and his disciples did. That is what Jesus was saying. Capernaum had been exalted to heaven by being privileged to have the Messiah live there. Yet her great privileges only brought great responsibilities and great judgment. 5 of the 10 recorded miracles in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, which we studied, were performed in Capernaum. Finally, we see the invitation of the king. Matthew chapter 11 verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These were verses actually that drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ. From rebellion to faith in him. Why did the religious leaders rebel against John and Jesus? Because they, the leaders, were intellectually and spiritually proud and would not become childlike in humility and honesty. There is a vast difference between the spoiled children of the parable spoken in Matthew 11 verses 16 to 19 which he read and the submissive children that we see described here in Matthew chapter 11 verses 25 to 30. The Father reveals himself to the Son, and the Son reveals himself and the Father to those who are willing to come to the Son in faith. And these verses indicate both the sovereignty of the Father and also the responsibility of the sinner. Three commands summarize this invitation of the king. Number one, come. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Pharisees said, do, 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 do this, do that. And they tried to make the people follow Moses and the traditions. But true salvation is found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To come to Jesus means to trust him. And this invitation is open to those who are exhausted and burdened. And that is exactly how the people felt under the yoke of legalism of the Pharisees. Matthew 23 verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Acts chapter 15 verse 10. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? The second command in the invitation is, take. Take. Matthew chapter 11 verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is a deeper experience. When we come to Christ by faith, he gives us rest. That is the rest of salvation. When we take his yoke and learn, we find rest. The joy of fellowship. And that is the deeper rest of surrender and obedience. The first rest is peace with God, the rest of salvation. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This happens the moment you turn to Christ by faith. The moment you are born again, you are given the rest of salvation. The second rest is the peace of God. First rest is peace with God. The second rest is the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 to 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want to remind ourselves this morning, those of you who feel anxious, it says here very clearly in the scriptures, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the antidote. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. A field is plowed by bullocks. Bullocks that have the yoke that is placed upon their necks. So the bullocks are guided and controlled by the farmer who plows the field with them. To take a yoke in that day meant to become a disciple. When we submit to Christ, we are yoked to him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word easy means well fitting. Jesus has just the yoke that is tailor made for our lives and needs. The burden of doing his will is not a heavy burden. Matthew 11 verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome because he grants us the desire to do his will and he also empowers us to do his will. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 and 14, I read to you from the New Living Translation. Philippians chapter 2 verses 13 to 14, the NLT. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and
and the power to do what pleases Him. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. We therefore can enjoy God's manifest presence and His power as we do His will and we please Him. The third command in the invitation is learn, learn. The first two commands represent a crisis as we come and yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this step is into a process. As we learn more about Him, we find a deeper peace because we trust Him more. Life is simplified, not complicated. Life is simplified and unified around the person of Christ. You have shalom. You have wholesome life. And this invitation is for all, not just the people of Israel. Matthew 11 verse 28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. The question that you need to ask yourself this morning is, how have I responded to this invitation? Have I come to Christ and received His salvation? If not, do not hesitate anymore. Do not delay. Take hold of the narrow way. Press into it. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now, you may have received salvation, but are you taking His yoke and learning of Him? Are you finding the deeper rest of surrender and obedience? Ask yourself, am I learning more about Him and growing in faith step by step and experiencing the deeper peace of trusting Him? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let us pray.